back here on National Geographic Weekend. I'm Boyd Mattson. Hey, if you listen to this program regularly, then you know there is a fungus among us. Well, it's on frogs, the chytrid fungus, and it is having a devastating impact on amphibian species. Brian Grapwick is a research biologist with the National Zoo. He joins us now. Brian, your specialty is looking at fungus on frogs, right?
Yes, it is. I think that this is a huge, huge problem affecting amphibians around the world. The 2008 Global Amphibian Assessment, which looked at the conservation status of all of the frogs around the world, listed 122 species as missing that are probably extinct in the wild. And they found that about 90 of those species had chytrid fungus listed as a likely threat responsible for the disappearance of these animals.
And this affects them, it grows on the skin, but because they breathe through the skin, that's the respiratory system. It makes it difficult for them to breathe, and that often becomes fatal.
That's correct. The skin is a very, very important organ for frogs in terms of respiration and osmoregulation. They can take up water and across their skin too.
So we've been looking for possible for cures for this before we lose all of our frog species. But before we get to potential cure, how did this spread so rapidly around the world? One, that maybe it's a huge business, frog legs. Shipped
right.
$40 million a year in frog legs. We don't need them that often here on the menu in the United States, but they're very popular around the world. But the live frog is what some of them might carry the fungus, and they escape, and then it gets it into a local population. Is that the theory of how it might be spreading?
There's been surveys done in Chinatown in New York of live frogs for sale, and they found that a lot of the frogs there were carrying chytrid fungus.
And so that's how it's got it from one species to another.
It can certainly be, that's certainly one of the mechanisms in which it is spreading around the world, is the trade in live frogs.
And now, the trade in live frogs is not just for food. And this, I can't believe I did not know this, but frogs, before the pink strip, were a pregnancy test for women. I had a realization of this. But women's urine, if they thought they were pregnant, they would send it to a lab and they would inject that in a frog. And then what would happen? How was this? They didn't turn pink like the little strip, did they?
No, of course. The frogs would react to the hormones present in the woman's urine. And if the woman was pregnant, it would cause the frog to ovulate. So
I bet the frogs were glad that we invented the strip so that they didn't have to keep injecting with women's urine. But these frogs were shipped all over the world also, and that may be another cause of the spread of the chytrid.
The African clawed frog is one of the most widely used laboratory animals anywhere in the world, and it has been spread around the world to certainly most of the developed countries, where we found the emergence of chytridiomycosis in the 1980s and 1990s. But this former pink strip frog test was used in the 1940s and 50s quite extensively.
I had no knowledge of that, because we know that, of course, in the fairy tales, the women were supposed to kiss frogs to find their prince, but who knew they were supposed to pee on them to find out if they were pregnant? This is just it's stunning. It's stunning to me. Well, let's get to the cure. You think you may have found something that's a cure that people have been, science has been racking their brains and doing research trying to see if there's a way to stop this chytrid that's wiping out the amphibian populations, and you may have found something?
Yes. I'm working with some collaborators at James Madison University, and they have found that if you take a certain kind of bacterium that normally grows on redback salamanders and put it on a frog skin, that bacterium can produce antifungal chemicals as a metabolite, but that sort of symbiotic relationship can be good for the bacteria but also good for the frog, because that antifungal chemical, which is the waste product of the bacterium, will have a protective effect on the frog if it's exposed to chytrid fungus.
So it's working in the early stages of testing?
It has worked on several species. It's been shown to work on redback salamanders and on yellow-legged mountain frogs.
And we just actually had an article in National Geographic magazine on the yellow-legged mountain frogs and how it was wiping out the population. So this is good news.
It's very good news. The key, though, is to try and figure out how do we get this from a lab situation into an applied field technique. So we do need to do our research and make sure that if you're introducing a novel bacterium into the environment, that it's not going to have any unintended ecological effects. That shouldn't be a problem for many of the areas that we're working in because the bacterium is native to those areas and it's not a pathogen. So it's a harm. We call it a probiotic bacterium. If you've ever seen probiotics advertised on the outside of yogurt containers and stores, it's just one of the many sort of beneficial bacterium out there that might be the key to understanding how to mitigate chytrid spread in the wild.
Well, this is indeed encouraging that we've got a first step on what had seemed like a great mystery of how to stop the chytrid, the spread of the fungus, and this is positive news. So, Brian, thanks for updating us, and when you start doing a field test, let us know about it.
Will do.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate talking to you.
Thanks very much.
Hey, are you a happy snap freak, taking pictures of everything you do, recording your life in still images, and then posting them on the internet? Well, what camera might be best for that purpose? We've got the tips for you. Stay tuned. We will share which camera you need when we return here on National Geographic Weekend. I'm Boyd Mattson.